Titus chapter 1 tonight. Of course, Titus, along with 1 and 2 Timothy, make up what are known as the pastoral epistles, written to primarily pastors in their context, but applicable with truths for each of us that we can glean and learn something from. Of course, written by the Apostle Paul about AD 64, somewhere in there. And the purpose of the book, of course, was to counsel, was to exhort, was to encourage a younger preacher, a younger pastor by the name of Titus. Paul, of course, was nearing the end of his earthly ministry. It was ready there at the end of 2 Timothy, ready to be offered. And now he was writing this to Titus to encourage him, relating both to the duties of what it meant to be a pastor, but also what it meant to hold to sound doctrine, the importance of holding to those things which we know to be true, doctrinally speaking, especially in a day and age that Timothy talks about how that there would be men having itching ears, not wanting to stick to the truth. Paul wanted to encourage Timothy that even in those days that you need to stick to that which is true. You need to stick to that important doctrine. And he had a special emphasis on the maintenance and the maintaining of good works. And so we find this book here, the book of Titus, written to Titus. Of course, Titus was not a Jewish believer, was not a Jewish pastor. He was a Gentile believer. He was a Gentile pastor. We find that over in the book of Galatians. And even though he was not a Jew, even though he was a Gentile, he was still a very close friend. He was still a very beloved friend of the Apostle Paul. And not only that, he was a helper of the Apostle Paul. And so we find him to be also in 2 Corinthians, a messenger of the church at Corinth. And he was trustworthy. He was unselfish. He was someone you could count on. He was somebody that you could depend on to have your back as long as you were doing that, which was right. He was a companion of the Apostle Paul. He was a companion of Barnabas on their journey to Jerusalem. And then we find that he would be left by Paul in Crete to attend to the churches. And we see that here in the book of Titus. And of course, we know he was in Rome with the Apostle Paul during the imprisonment of Paul towards the end of his life. And he also seems to have been a more sturdy man than Timothy was. He seems to have been more mature, more as we were thinking about this morning and looking at our series on Christian growth. He was more of that type of a person. He was more spiritually along, so to speak. He was more spiritually mature. He had progressed a little bit more faster, if we can put it that way, than Timothy. And now, as you get into the book of Titus, you find that its main theme is that of good works. Now, we know good works. We don't do good works in order to be saved. We do good works because we are saved. We work because we are saved. And Titus, of course, we would find that some would have conflict or claim that there's a conflict of doctrine between Paul and that of James. But we find the character of the Cretans was such that Paul thought it necessary to advise their minister to insist upon consistent Christian living. And that's what we find in the book of Titus, a message of just being consistent when it comes to our Christian life. And nothing could be more important than being consistent when it comes to being a Christian. Not up and down, in and out, you know, on the fence, off the fence, trying to straddle both the world and the church. No, we need to be consistent in our Christian living. And but don't mistake it. This book does not teach salvation by works. Notice there, if you would, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. It's a short book, only the three chapters. But notice, if you would, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." But now notice, verse number 9. "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain or empty. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, believing or being condemned of himself." And so we see here that the need for consistent Christian living is needed. He says here, this is a faithful saying. And he then begins to direct to Titus some teachings. He says that these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Do you see the order in which those good works come? It's after we believe in God. It's after we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't reverse the two. We don't do good works in order to have faith in God. We have faith in God, and then we attempt good works for the Lord. And then we see there that he says that it is profitable unto men. It is, and when it talks about profitable there, it talks about a godly profitableness. And then we see here that he gets into the avoidance of unprofitable discussions. But we see here that key verse, chapter 3, verse 8, that we are to maintain good works. That we are to maintain good works. And so, all of that being said, we're going to start off tonight chapter 2. And verse number 11. Chapter 2 and verse number 11, because there's some truths here tonight that I like just to encourage us with as we begin another week. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse number 11, down through verse number 15. The Bible says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." The very first thing I wanted to see tonight is that verse number 11. And notice what it says again, "For the grace of God." We could spend a whole lot of time just on that one phrase alone tonight, the grace of God. Where would we be tonight as Christians if it had not been for the grace of God? I'd venture to say and make a guess tonight that one place we would not be is sitting in a church service on a Sunday night had it not been for the grace of God. And you think back on your life, think back on my life, and just some of the situations we get ourselves in. How would we have ever gotten out of them had it not been for the grace of God? We need to, you know, we're thinking about being thankful. And, you know, we said it this morning, being thankful ought to be a year-round thing. It ought not just to be a one-month type of thing or a one-day type of thing. But if we're honest with ourselves, we have reason to be thankful every day of the year. Listen, even when we don't feel like there's anything to be thankful for. And by the way, when you feel like there's something to be thankful for, there probably is something to be thankful for. You say, how do you know that? Because feelings are fickle. Feelings make you think things that aren't so. And we see here for the grace of God, but not only for the grace of God, notice what it does, that bringeth salvation. Oh, the grace of God is good, but it gets even better. Why? Because it brought your salvation, and it brought my salvation through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross for you and for me. But not only that, it gets even better. Notice what it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, a saving grace. But notice what it says, hath appeared to all men. I'm thankful tonight that this grace of God that brings this saving grace, this salvation, hath not just appeared to me only. I'm thankful tonight it has not just appeared to you only. I'm thankful tonight it has just not appeared to a select few. But I'm thankful tonight this grace of God hath appeared to all men, and all men can be saved. All men can be born again. All men can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. All men can reach out and accept the gift of God through the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that is breathing, that is still alive, you say, oh, some people are just beyond hope. As long as they're breathing, they're never beyond hope. As long as they're breathing, they're never beyond the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All they have to do is reach out and accept. How do you know that? You've heard me quote it probably a million times. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. You know, you and I, we're guilty of being slack. We saw it this morning in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6. We're guilty of being dull of hearing. We're guilty this morning of being slothful. We're guilty this morning of being lazy. We're guilty this evening of writing people off. But I'm thankful tonight the Lord is never guilty of writing somebody off. You know, some people, they get saved when they're very young. You know what? Praise the Lord for it. But then there's some people, they don't get saved until their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, their 60s. You know what? Praise the Lord for it. Why? Because it's the grace of God that appeareth to all men, everybody that the Lord has shown. You think of the Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. He was going to persecute more Christians, and the light of God comes, shines down upon him, and he turns from the greatest persecutor of Christians to perhaps the greatest preacher that we know outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You say, what does that? The grace of God that bringeth salvation that appeared to all men. And so now we see, secondly tonight, after this grace of God that brings salvation, that appears to all men, notice what happens. Teaching us, verse 12. So now this is what the grace of God teaches us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, okay, the grace of God has brought salvation. Praise the Lord for it. The grace of God has brought salvation that has appeared to all men. Praise the Lord for it. Now, here's what it teaches us Number one, that we are to have self-denial. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Deny the ungodliness, the worldly lusts. Live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. You say, why ought we to live this way? Because we live in a world that is ungodly. We live in a world that is worldly. We live in a world that is not sober. We live in a world that is not righteous. We live in a world that is not godly. And as Christians, we need to be the salt of the world. We need to be the type of Christians we get in and we irritate this world. We seek to make a difference in this world. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we live differently from this world. And so we see here the grace of God, that saving grace that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. The grace of God comes, the grace of God teaches, and then thirdly tonight, the grace of God gives a hope. The grace of God gives a hope. Notice there, if you would, verse 13, or gives an expectation, if we can put it that way. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the grace of God, it comes, the grace of God teaches, the grace of God now gives an expectation that one day the Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to come. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that blessed hope. That's what we as Christians believe in. That's what we as Baptists specifically believe in. You may, you know, there's an old phrase, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. That's what we believe in tonight. We believe in the book. We believe in the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. But more so than that, we believe in the blessed hope that Jesus said he's coming again. And one day he's coming again. In fact, there's a flag that we at our church in Oklahoma, we actually got rid of the Christian flag, because the Christian flag, if you do the study on it, it has ecumenical history to it. And so we got rid of the Christian flag, and there's a independent Baptist church. They make what is known as the Baptist flag. And this Baptist flag, it's red, it's white. And on that flag, it says just that, the book, the blood, the blessed hope. That's what we believe in as Christians tonight. That's what keeps us going, that blessed hope that one day, as we live in this ungodly world, as we live in this worldly world, as we live in this unsober world, this unrighteous world, this ungodly world, that one day Jesus himself is coming again. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall descend from heaven with a shout, and one day he's going to come and take us home to be with himself. And what a blessed hope that is indeed. But not only this evening does the grace of God come, not only this evening does the grace of God bring, not only does this grace of God appear, not only does this grace of God teach, not only does this grace of God have an expectation, but then fourthly tonight we see that this grace of God is giving. This grace of God is giving. Notice there, if you would, verse number 14. Verse number 14, and it goes in conjunction with verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope, verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. One day Jesus is coming again, but we also have a remembrance of his sacrifice that he gave himself to redeem us by the blood of the Lamb and to cleanse us spiritually. And because of that, we have become God's people. And as God's people, he has made us to be a peculiar people. You know, you have somebody ever look at you like you're weird. Well, good news. You are weird. And guess what? Good news. I'm weird. But guess what? We're to be peculiar. We're to be different. We're to live different in this world. And you notice what it says, to be zealous of good works. In other words, tonight, we should want to serve the Lord. But not just serve the Lord, not just do it lackadaisical and half-hearted and all the rest. No, we should want to do it zealously and with the best of our ability and with all our heart, with all our mind, and all our soul. I believe it's Colossians that talks about whatever we do, do it heartily unto the Lord. And that's what we should want to do. And so we see tonight this grace of God, it brings, it appears, it teaches, it gives expectation, it gives, and then number next and finally, it gives a command. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Paul closes out chapter 2 to Titus by telling him very simple, in layman's terms, speak the word. Speak the word and let no man despise thee. You know, sometimes I believe we hold our tongue, we hold our peace, we don't speak the word like we ought to, and it's because we're afraid of what people are going to think. Folks, we have an encouragement here from the Word of God tonight that through the grace of God, we can speak the Word of God. Because this Word of God comes with all authority. And guess what? It's not your authority. It's not my authority. But it's His authority. And He encourages us and He wants us tonight to speak the Word. Let no man despise thee. He wants us tonight to witness for His honor and His glory. And He wants us to do so with haste because He is coming again. He is coming to take us home one day. And so this evening again, we see this grace of God and praise the Lord for it. It brings, it saves, it appears, it teaches, it looks, it gives, and it speaks. The question tonight is just very simply, what are you doing with the grace of God? What are you doing with the grace of God? Are you extending grace to those who need grace? Are you showing them salvation? Are you giving it to all people, all men, women, boys, and girls? Are you teaching through the grace of God? Are you looking up for your redemption? Draweth nigh. Are you looking for Jesus to come again? Do you give of yourself? And are you speaking and teaching the Word of God? Are you witnessing? Are you being a witness for Him? You can do all these things through the grace of God. You can do all these things with His help. And it's through the grace of God. And we need to be thankful tonight for the grace of God, that it appears to all of us and it helps us each step of the way. Those times you feel like you can't go on, that you feel like throwing in the towel, the grace of God is there to help us each step of the way. This evening, just simple thoughts to be thankful for the grace of God. Let's pray.